Luke chapter 8. I spoke a few weeks ago about the Rhema word, which is the spoken word that the Holy Spirit quickens us when we're reading through the scriptures, and a word comes to our mind, think, wow, that is so cool, that is so for me today. And I was reading through Matthew, in fact, and this scripture, of course, is in Matthew, but I prefer it in Luke because I can find it easy. what am I doing in Romans? Oh, yeah. Luke chapter 8. And there you go. 1037. And as I say, what struck me was the end of this short account of Jesus calming the storm. In fear and amazement, these are fishermen, disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, they asked one another, who is this that even the winds and the waves or the water obey him? Who is this? Is that a question we ask ourselves? Who is this? Who is Jesus? What is Jesus to me today? Is he Savior? Is he Lord? Is he Lord and Savior? Is he someone who is by our side, someone who we testify of his goodness and his faithfulness to us? Is he the one that we look forward to? One day he's going to come back. What's that going to be like? And what would it be like when we're raptured, taken up and caught him to heaven? That would be amazing. And those days, no doubt, are not far away. So let's just read this together, verse 22. Of Luke chapter 8. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into the boat and set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall or a windstorm came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who then is this that he commands even the winds and the waves and the water to obey him? I want us just to put ourselves into that situation. What would we have done? I don't like going in boats. I had a shock when I was very young. I went into a rowing boat, and the person that was rowing was laughing all the time, and I think I was crying. I was 21. No, I wasn't. I was about 12, about 12 at the time. And I was really, really scared. And in water, when we lose our sense of perspective, particularly on the seas, that's why I'd never go on a cruise, is that you never know what's going to happen. Suddenly things can change. And I suppose even politicians agree with this, that they are certain of uncertainties, and how true that is. And I think in the storms that we experience in life, do we cope? How do we manage? Do we survive? Do we panic? Do we wonder where God is? And all of those questions are in this portion of Scripture. You know, what we believe about Jesus won't necessarily change our circumstances. But what it will change is the way that we view those circumstances once we know who Jesus is. Now, I'm speaking to a collection of mature folk here, and we've journeyed for many, many years, I know most of us. And we have found in the experience of life, when we've put Christ into our circumstances, when we've looked away from all the weight of responsibility and things that have happened in our lives, and we turn to Jesus, somehow we seem to have a mechanism that it helps us to deal with those circumstances in a better way had we not. What's very interesting about this passage, and of course, as I say, the rhema word is very important because we can miss so many details about this. Often this is described as a typical lesson about life and storms in life, and Jesus, and we cry out to Jesus and Jesus quells the storm and we go on our way happy ever after. That's not the case as we know. But in this particular occasion, Jesus says to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. This is not a lack of judgment from the disciples. It's not a mistake that they've made. It's not a sinful action that they find themselves in this huge storm that threatened to take their lives away. This is the Lord's will. This is the Lord's will that they're to go on the other side of the lake, and the storm came. And it just seems to me that Jesus brought them to the place that challenged them the most. I know that I speak to mature Christians here this morning, but there are a number of people, even today, that when the storms of life come in their lives, they wonder where God is. They blame God for, I've been faithful at the church all these years, I've served and worked for the kingdom, and now these things have happened to me. I didn't expect them. And I think one of the important lessons that I find in this passage is that Jesus is looking for character. He's looking for character in his disciples that would take on the work of the kingdom once he'd left these shores. They had to be challenged at the deepest level so that they could manage the challenges of life that they were to face as believers and as disciples. And thank God that they did, because we wouldn't be here today had the disciples given up. I go back many years. I keep saying this every time I preach. I go back many years to the day I left the business and called into ministry. It was quite an amazing experience. I've never had it before, never had it since, of how the Lord called me from being a businessman to a minister. And I have to say, there have been times in my life where running a business is a lot easier than a church. Because in a business, you can fire people. But you know, the one thing that we find in the kingdom of God, it's more about character than competence. It's about that godly character that can withstand the storms of life and come out saying, yep, but I knew that God was with me. It's interesting in James chapter 1 where he says, consider it all pure joy, brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. I wish that scripture wasn't there, because how can you be joyful through some of the circumstances that you folk have been through and what you are going through? But it goes on to say this. You know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. You see, I think God looks for character. And there are folk here, I look out on you this morning, and I know that it's because you've trusted in God, your character has been honed by God, that you're actually here this morning. There have been many situations, I know, where you could have said, if that's of God, I don't need to be there on Sunday because I just don't get it. In fact, I'm reading a very good book somebody lent me years ago, Why People Don't Go to Church. And it's because they think God is unfair. And we live in a world where everything has to be just in front. Everything has to work out fine. Everything has to be just right. Otherwise, We go into depression or stress. But these disciples were being led by Jesus. He wanted them to share an experience that they would never, ever forget. Because to me, where we look at the life of Jesus and we look at the way he led his life, everything he did was to bring glory to God his Father. And as the Lord leads us, he wants us to bring him the glory no matter what. His name has to be honored. His name has to be uplifted. We have to know at times of great uncertainty that he is for us and not against us, as we read in Romans chapter 8. He will honor his name. He will respect his name always. His name has to be honored. So as they sailed, verse 23, he fell asleep. Now, what do we make of that? What do we make of Jesus falling asleep? I mean, we can fall asleep in a church service and no one's going to notice apart from the person in the front. If my voice gets louder, you know, one or two are falling asleep. But here's Jesus. He'd been busy, he'd been ministering, he was very human, yet divine. But was there something else going on?
He trusted.
I hear a word.
He trusted.
His trust, that's right, Eileen, absolutely right. You see, there's the difference here. Here's the extremes. Jesus is absolutely confident in his Father. And he knew that his Father would teach the lessons to the disciples. Now, going across the Lake of Galilee, is about 7.5 miles, about 12 kilometers. It's surrounded by the hills. I don't know if folk have been there. We've never been there. It's below sea level, and these storms can erupt at any moment and cause tremendous damage, I guess. And these experienced fishermen should have known what to do. Now, they did, of course, because they would have got their buckets, they would have got the water out of the boat, they would have used all the resources, all the experience they had to really stabilize the situation. But that wasn't enough. And I think what's the first lesson that Jesus is teaching here is that in our Christian lives, whether we think we could manage situations because we are experienced, we've been Christians for a number of years, we know how to manage things. We rely on our competence, on our abilities. I know I've heard it many times. People say, well, I couldn't do that job. No, you don't ask me. I couldn't do that. Well, that's a good place to start. Because Jesus takes our extremities and he uses them for his opportunities. And that's what we learn here. Jesus was teaching them what you have and your abilities, your experience will not be enough to see you through. Because the whole story was about Jesus wanting to take his disciples from one side of the lake to the other. As Eileen said, he was trusting in his Father. Let's just turn a few pages to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I don't know what the page number is. I can tell you from this Bible, it won't be the same as the one you have. But thanks, Annie. Hebrews chapter 12. We've read this many times, I know. Therefore, since we are surrounded, Hebrews 12, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. You see, the more we fix our eyes on Jesus, the less the circumstances will weigh heavily upon us. The author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Think about him. Play it over and over again in your mind. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Believe God's timing is perfect. His word is perfect. Word God's timing is perfect because we know that life doesn't get any easier as we get older. And the more the enemy will buffet us, the more we need to fix our eyes on Jesus so that we don't give up. You see, it was the fact that Jesus was at peace with his Father that he faced the cross. He allowed himself to suffer as he did for our sin because God had placed in his heart the sin of mankind because of his great love for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, what Jesus is doing is character building. He's building the characters of these guys who really thought that they kind of knew it. And we'll never know it all in our lives, will we? We're always going to be learning. Disciples are about people that learn, people that understand. And by learning, they learn to rely on what God is saying, even though circumstances may not necessarily change. And getting to the end of ourselves is not easy. It's certainly not easy when we get to an end of ourselves, because we rely. We've been brought up to rely on ourselves, to be stand on your own two feet, and all that we were brought up with. But in God's economy, we've got to let go of everything we know and trust him so that we can do things. And I think the best quality and character of anybody that wishes to go forward and serve the Lord in mission or in Christian life or whatever it might be is to say, well, I can't do this, but I know somebody that can. It's interesting when Jesus says, you know, where is your faith? This was after a time where the disciples decided, not even among themselves, they just said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. We're going to die here. They didn't debate about it. They didn't go to a prayer meeting. They just cried out, Master, do you care? I think this teaches us something about prayer, not to panic, but to pray, in the sense that we can be ourselves, just say to God the way it is. I think that way we really get healing and restoration. And he rebukes the wind and the waves and they obey him. There's much to be said about that. Time doesn't permit. But when he rebuked the wind and the waves, it's the same rebuke he used when he was casting out demons. So this could well have been the water and the storm suddenly was the work of the enemy to try and prevent them crossing the other side. But Jesus had authority over that as well because he just rebuked the wind and the waves. And the lake became calm. And then this question, where is your faith? This is a Rhema word as well, I believe this. He didn't say, have you got faith? Have you got a faith? You know, some may not have a strong faith. Some folk may have quite a weak faith through the circumstances of life. You've hung on. You've persevered. When everything seemed dark, you persevered. And maybe your faith is strengthened through that, or it may not have been weakened, maybe. A part of the character of God is your faith genuine or not? Does your faith work for you when it needs to? It's very easy to say, I have faith. But faith doesn't really do much unless it's working for us. When Peter stepped out of the boat, started walking on the water another occasion, and Jesus says, come then, if you're going to walk on water, come. And then he looked at the circumstances and then he started to sink because he fixed his eyes elsewhere. Is it genuine faith? That's character, isn't it? To have a genuine faith. To say, yeah. Yes, I have a genuine faith. And I will persevere. I will see what God will do in this situation. Maybe I am a storm. You're in a storm right now. And you're in a storm and you wonder because you look around you and you see people that are not Christians that are not in a storm. They seem to have life very easy. But maybe Jesus is preparing you and me for something else. Something where our faith not only will be tested, but will prove genuine so that we can fulfill a task that we say, I can't do that. You see, Jesus wanted to prove to them he could get them over to the other side in one piece. James says, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And I believe there's going to be some of us here this morning. It's just come to mind two of us here this morning. This scripture will become very real to you in the days to come. Because it'll only be by your faith in the Lord. Trusting in his word, what he's spoken to you. That faith will come from the word that he will see you through. I believe that. So as believers, we do face times of tribulation. Jesus said, in this life you'll have much tribulation, but do not fear, I've overcome the world. We know that. It's not going to be easy, but he calls us to persevere. He develops our character so that we become mature, that we become faithful people, that we teach others to be faithful, to persevere, to trust in God and to learn from him, and our characters become godly characters. Wasn't it Paul says, that I want you to be like me, not in the sense that he was an imperfect man, but to be mature and to manage life, not in our own strength, but in the strength that only God can give us. So the way we view Jesus doesn't change our circumstances. But what we know about Jesus enables us to overcome. And I'll guarantee that he will get you to the other side. Whatever you're going through, he will get you to the other side. Hold fast and believe and trust in his word, and he will do it. Amen.